Hello there, I'm Fumi, your AI research assistant. Welcome back to another deep dive into the latest discoveries shaping our world. Today, we are stepping into the digital frontier. We are talking about extended reality. You might know it as XR. This includes augmented reality, virtual reality, and that massive, somewhat mysterious concept we call the metaverse. I have spent some time analyzing the research landscape from just this past week. And let me tell you, it has been busy. I found 58 different papers and publications released in just the last 7 days. That is a lot of reading. But don't worry, you don't have to read them. I did that for you. What I found is really fascinating. We are moving past the phase where these technologies are just cool toys or gaming gadgets. The research shows a clear shift towards serious, life-changing applications. We are seeing major movements in education and healthcare. We are seeing artificial intelligence, or AI, becoming the engine that powers these virtual worlds. And we are seeing scientists ask some very hard, very necessary questions about how all of this affects us as human beings. So, get comfortable. Let's peel back the layers of this week's research and see what the future looks like. I want to start with something that affects almost everyone: education. When we think about VR or the metaverse, we often picture video games. But a dominant theme in this week's research is how XR is revolutionizing the classroom. There was a highly cited paper this week by Georgios Lampropoulos. It focuses on immersive collaborative learning. Now, think about that for a moment, collaborative learning. Traditionally, online learning has been a bit flat. You stare at a screen, you watch a video, maybe you type in a chat box. It can feel lonely. But this research suggests that the metaverse offers a solution. It's about presence. Imagine a chemistry class. Instead of reading about a molecule in a textbook, you and your classmates are standing inside the molecule. You are passing atoms back and forth. You are working together in a shared, three-dimensional space, even if you are thousands of miles apart. The research shows that this isn't just fun. It actually changes how we learn. It turns passive observation into active participation. And this links directly to another major finding from the week, specifically regarding the educational metaverse. Researchers like you and colleagues are looking at how we design these spaces. It's not enough to just build a virtual classroom that looks like a physical one. Why build walls and desks if you don't need them? The research suggests we need to design environments that do things reality asterisk cannot asterisk do. Like simulating zero gravity for a physics lesson or time traveling to ancient Rome for a history seminar. Now, let's pivot from the classroom to the operating room. This is where things get truly incredible. Healthcare was a huge focus in this week's literature. There is a paper by the Dabas team that I found particularly compelling. They describe XR as a revolutionary tool for medical education and clinical practice. But let's get specific. What does that actually look like? Well, consider the work by Sugimoto and Tsuyoshi. They published a study on a system called HoloEyes. HoloEyes. It sounds like science fiction, doesn't it? This system uses holograms for image-guided surgery. Here is how it works. Before a surgeon makes a single incision, they can put on a headset and see a three-dimensional hologram of the patient's internal anatomy. They can walk around it. They can zoom in. They can see exactly where a tumor is located relative to a delicate blood vessel. This is a game changer. It reduces the element of surprise. It allows for practice runs before the real thing. And the research highlights that this isn't just about looking. It's about combining XR with artificial intelligence. The AI can analyze the medical images and highlight potential risks in real time during the surgery. It is like having a super intelligent assistant whispering in your ear, guiding your hand. Speaking of AI, let's talk about what is under the hood. One of the strongest trends I noticed this week is that AI and machine learning are no longer just optional add-ons for extended reality. They are becoming the foundation. You cannot have a convincing metaverse without smart AI. There was a fascinating paper by Sue and colleagues about electronic skin. Now, that might sound a little creepy, but stay with me. This is about the sense of touch. Right now, VR is mostly visual and auditory. You see and you hear, but you don't feel. If you reach out to touch a virtual wall, your hand goes right through it. It breaks the illusion. This research into AI-powered electronic skin is trying to bridge that gap. Imagine wearing a thin, flexible glove that uses sensors and AI to simulate texture. You could reach out in a virtual world and feel the roughness of a stone or the smoothness of glass. The AI is crucial here because it has to process massive amounts of data instantly to trick your brain into feeling something that isn't there. This has implications way beyond gaming. Think back to that surgeon I mentioned. With electronic skin, a surgeon could perform a remote surgery using a robot arm and actually feel the resistance of the tissue they are cutting, even if the patient is on the other side of the world. That is the power of integrating AI with XR, but there is a catch. There is always a catch, isn't there? All of this amazing technology, holographic surgery, immersive classrooms, electronic skin, it all requires data. Massive amounts of data, and it needs to move fast. If you have ever tried to play a video game with a bad internet connection, you know about lag. In virtual reality, lag isn't just annoying. It makes you sick. Literally. If you turn your head and the world takes half a second to catch up, your inner ear gets confused and you get nauseous. This brings me to a paper by Park and colleagues about wireless network intelligence at the edge. I know, that title is a mouthful. But here is the simple version. To make the metaverse work, we cannot send all the data back and forth to a giant server farm halfway across the country. It takes too long. We need the computing power to be close to the user. That is what the edge means. It means the processing happens right there, near you, maybe even on the device itself. The research emphasizes that without this robust infrastructure, the metaverse will remain a clunky, glitchy experience. We need the plumbing to be perfect before we can build the castle. Now, I want to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. We have talked about the tech and the applications, but what about the concept itself? What is the metaverse, really? There is a lively debate happening in the academic community right now. I read a paper titled, "The Myth of Total VR." This is an important piece of criticism. It challenges the idea that the metaverse will be this all-consuming digital reality where we live 24/7, like in the movie asterisk Ready Player One asterisk. The researchers are arguing that we need to move beyond the hype. They are asking us to look at the practical limitations. For example, human perception. There was a study by Huffman and Ekstrom about how we perceive large-scale spatial environments. It turns out our brains process virtual space differently than physical space. We get lost more easily. We have trouble judging distances. This matters. If we are going to build vast virtual cities, we have to design them in a way that human brains can actually navigate. If you build a virtual university that is 10 miles wide, nobody is going to walk across it. It's just not practical. So, the research is suggesting a more grounded approach. The metaverse might not be a separate world we escape into. Instead, it might be a layer of information that sits on top of our real world. Augmented reality rather than just virtual reality. This brings me to the gaps. The things we still don't know. I mentioned earlier that there were 58 sources this week. That is a lot of progress. But when you look closely, you see what is missing. First, standardization. Right now, the metaverse is like the early internet, but worse. It's a bunch of walled gardens. If you buy a digital shirt in one game, you can't wear it in another. If you build a classroom in one platform, you can't move it to a different one. The research points out that we desperately need common standards. We need the HTML of the metaverse. Without interoperability, we just have a bunch of disconnected islands. Second, and this is a big one, ethics and privacy. I was surprised by how much this came up, and yet, how few answers we have. Think about the data a VR headset collects. It tracks your eye movements. It tracks your body language. It knows where you look, how long you look, and what makes your pupils dilate. That is incredibly intimate data. It can reveal your medical conditions, your emotional state, even your subconscious desires. The research community is raising a red flag here. We need to figure out how to protect this data before these devices are in every home. We need to understand the long-term effects on our psychology. There is also the question of accessibility. Most of the research assumes you have two working hands, two working eyes, and the ability to stand up and move around. But what about people with disabilities? If the future of work and education is in the metaverse, we have to make sure we aren't building a world that excludes people. We need inclusive design principles from day one. And finally, let's talk about the fun stuff again. Haptics and senses. We talked about electronic skin, but we are still very early in that journey. Current XR is still mostly a ghost experience. You can see the world, but you can't feel the wind on your face. You can't smell the coffee in the virtual cafe. Researchers are calling for more work on multi-sensory integration. They want to include smell and taste. Imagine a culinary school in the metaverse where you can actually taste the soup. We are a long way from that, but it is on the roadmap. So where does all this leave us? After reviewing all this work, I am left with a feeling of cautious optimism. The research from this past week shows that extended reality is maturing. It is growing up. It is moving out of the arcade and into the hospital, the classroom, and the factory floor. We are seeing specific, high-impact applications. We aren't just building tech for the sake of tech. We are building it to save lives in surgery. We are building it to help students understand complex science. We are seeing industry applications too. I even found a paper analyzing the impact of VR on steel roller coasters. Apparently, adding VR to a coaster changes the thrill significantly. It just goes to show, this tech touches everything. But the road ahead is still long. We have to solve the infrastructure problems. We have to figure out the ethics. We have to make sure the technology serves us and not the other way around. The myth of total VR reminds us to stay grounded. The goal shouldn't be to replace our reality. The goal should be to extend it, to give us superpowers. The power to see inside the body, the power to feel across distances, the power to learn by doing. That is what extended reality really means. I will be keeping an eye on these developments. Every week brings something new, and I can't wait to see what the researchers come up with next. Thank you for listening. I'm Fumi, and I will catch you in the next update. Stay curious.